So if you will repeat after me, say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
I have eyes to see.
I have ears to hear.
You're talking to me. My spirit can perceive. You're on the job. Declaring your word. Changing who I am. From the natural to the spirit realm. And we're going to have an awesome time. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I read this in the Passion Translation, but it didn't have what I presume the Holy Spirit wants to impact us tonight with. So, Philippians chapter 4. Therefore, verse 1, my brethren, whom I love and yearn to see, my delight and crown, in parentheses, wreath of victory. Thus stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat and advise Euoda, and I entreat and advise Syntyche to agree and to work in harmony in the Lord. And I exhort you to my genuine yoke fellows, help these two women to keep on cooperating, for they have toiled along with me in the spreading of the good news, the gospel, as have Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Delight, gladden yourselves in him. Again, I say rejoice. You know, when I was reading this, I was thinking about the press that came to send that little note to the woman that you and I talked about. Because again, why is there a difficulty? Why is there attitude? Because there's a need for cooperating. There's a need to reach out. And so part of my press was also to intercede for the one that lives in West Springfield, because that's been on my heart quite a bit. So there's, again, pressure. Pressure against not just what we go through, but recognizing that they're out there and they're receiving pressure as well. And that's what intercession is for. Verse 5. Let all men know and perceive and recognize your unselfishness, your considerateness, your forbearing spirit. Now, that's describing what happened to you, Gail, this Sunday. Unselfishness. You were considerate and you were forbearing in your inner man not to pressure what you used to do or to act and react in the ways that you used to, bringing about a complete different change of atmosphere in your home. Okay? The Lord is near. He is coming soon. Well, that was 2,000 years, so his soon and my soon are very different. But I won't complain. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. That's your message, girl. Okay? Do not fret and have any anxiety about anything. But in every circumstance and in everything by prayer and petition, definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Well, isn't that what happened to you, young lady? Within an hour. Okay? What did you do? You didn't have any anxiety. Your circumstances were not what you wanted. So you prayed. You petitioned with thanksgiving, and you continued to make your wants known to God. And he listened.
He sure did.
And you got the results.
Yep.
And God's peace, which you came in with, mm-hmm. be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation. I love that part. A tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Now that verse 7 is so intense. The God of peace be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through the anointing. And so fearing nothing from God, content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. You know, when my wife and I went over and dropped that jacket off, and it happened to be a double blessing because it was also, my grandson had called, and it was Tracy's birthday yesterday. So obviously, we ended up having a good time and meeting some of the family and so on. And looking at what God has done, the difficulties that they've been through, the hardships that they've maneuvered through. And if it wasn't for the peace that, transcends many, many times. So my wife had gotten a card and I said, well, it's your turn. You fill it in. So she says to me, she says, she's like a daughter-in-law. Cyrene, I've known that for a long time. And I said, I believe the relationship is much deeper than most. Okay, so I'm watching Holy Spirit not just destroying the darkness that was in many, because when you're dealing with a house full of five, there's a lot of anxiety sometimes, and she lands in the middle of it. So how she survives it, I only say to the Lord, you're the one that's doing it, and she knows it. So, verse 8, for the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, you should have a circle around the next word. Think on and weigh and take account of these things. Fix your minds on them. Now I'm going to pick on you. You went through all kinds of dark places in this past year. Okay? You almost went home to be with the Lord. And I've watched you come out of the surgeries that you've had, the restoration that you've had, and you're still coming back for more. But my press to you is this. If you can rehearse this particular chapter on a daily basis for the next few weeks and read it out loud to yourself, I mean this. If you read it out loud to yourself, it won't be for my benefit. It's going to be for what God wants to do inside of you. because he's working on you diligently to lift you up higher than you've ever been before. And it's through the mental things that he wants to change. And while you're looking at all of the things that God has done in you and for you and with your sister, God's grace has flooded you with so much that you may not comprehend the fullness of it. But I can tell you this, this scripture will change your future. And where you used to live won't be that important. Where you will walk will be a brand new place in God that you've not had before. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. Verse 9. Praise what you have learned. Practice what you have learned and receive and heard and seen in me. Now, if you look at your sister and she says these words to you, practice what Gail has learned and received and seen in your sister Gail, and model your way of living on it. And the God of peace, of untroubled, undisturbed well-being, will be with you. Now that's a mouthful. Amen? Okay. Try it on. Say, I'm going to be watching what my sister does. She's walking through darkness and kicking the darkness out of the way. And she's an example to me. And I will follow in those footsteps. And the peace that she has, I will own in Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry for picking on you, but it's just, it's the word. And verse 10. I was made very happy in the Lord that now you have revived your interest in my welfare. After a long time, you were indeed thinking of me, but you had no opportunity to show it. Not that I am implying that I was in any personal want, for I have learned how to be content, satisfied to the point of where I am not disturbed or disquieted in whatever state that I am. I know how to be abased and lived in strained circumstances. And I know also how to enjoy plenty and live in abundance. I have learned in any and all circumstances the secret of facing every situation, whether well-fed or going hungry, having a sufficiency and to spare or going without and being in want. You know, there were seasons in my life that I tasted some of that. And it wasn't easy. But I can remember this particular chapter being pressed into my heart and rereading it out loud to myself. So what I'm asking any of you to do, I've done this because I had to. If I didn't convince myself that God was with me, I would have gave up a long time ago. And I had somebody ask me when I went to the funeral, or the wake rather, last week, some questions of how did all this begin? And you know, when you're prodded, it doesn't take long to go back to those moments where the transition came, where you realize that you were a spirit being living in a body, and that the cycle of not all about flesh, all about things, all about what you have and what you don't have and what others have and what they think of you and all of that old pattern that I used to live in. Okay? And so I shared some of these little pieces. And as I was going home, what that does is it prods you to take a look of the progress. I'm not that man anymore. I know where I was, but I know I'm not there anymore. Do I understand? Sometimes, yes, it actually flows out of me. And my wife and I spoke about when Rick brought us home, he had bought his mother and I a big, huge poinsettia. It's like a tree. And it's absolutely gorgeous. And I said, you know, I said, we have so many blessings to be so grateful for what God has done. She's going to be 85 on Friday. And that five is really, really, it's a push button that you'd like to not push. Okay? So she's facing it. But I can tell the four was a lot more comfortable because, again, she went to see her friend that's 95, and that created pressure. And I said, you know, maybe we should bring that you're 85 today. No, 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 I'm waiting for Friday. So, okay. So, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be reacting in that way. I pray not, because I don't think the numbers are that important for me anymore. I used to think about those before, but they're not pressured like they're pressuring on her. So again, what do we do? I know how to be abased and live humbly in strange circumstances. Well, you all have strained corners. Every one of us do. How do we make it? He says, I know how to enjoy plenty and live in abundance. I have learned in any and all circumstances the secret of facing every situation, whether well fed or going hungry, having a sufficiency and to spare, or going without and being in want. And I'm thinking about Paul, who writes this. When he went through that horrible experience that the boat literally fell apart on the rocks, and they get literally surviving in the cold, and then help comes and he gets bit by a snake and survives it. You know, I mean, come on, that couldn't have been easy. And then they're stuck on that island for who knows how many weeks or months. We don't know. But there was a plan. He needed to get to Rome. God had a plan for him to deposit something in Rome. As I was listening to Kim Clement, I don't remember where he was living when he was here in Connecticut. But I do know this. He was pressing on to make it to the victory that God had prepared for him. And 20 years later, he's prophesying over our country. Was he ready when he was here in Connecticut? No. Was he being prepared? Well, in 2007, he shared, he had a car accident, and his arms were broken, his legs were broken, his hands were broken, and the doctors told him he'd never play music again. And he said, he listened to what the doctor said, but then he sat in front of the piano and he says, but God, your word says, okay? And he says, I can remember for 6 weeks pounding on the piano in pain that the tears would roll. He didn't say those words, but I'm just, you know, I know what that is, okay? pushing forward, even when you're in pain, to do exercises that you don't feel like doing, because it's not a good idea as far as your body is concerned. But you know if you don't do it, you might not make it to 84. Amen? So, 13, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. That is, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Now, if you read it in the NIV, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, tighten your seatbelts. Tracy sent us a picture of three of the ladies that had a birthday little party for her when she got to work yesterday morning. And one of the girls bought her a plaque. And that's what is written on it, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, I said, now isn't that cool? She's working with a believer. And so she has a support system, which is awesome. But if you read this verse 13 in this amplified version, you can see the depth of what it really means. I am ready for anything. Are you? Scripture says you are. Amen? And equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. That's a powerful comment. That is, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. We take it to the bank, right? How many can say amen? Because it's a powerful comment. And that's why I believe he wanted this particular version of the word.
Yeah, because that's very different from the...
Oh, it doesn't sound anything like what we've read.
No, it doesn't. I mean, I can't... The only statement here that's even similar, it says, and I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty.
Yeah.
That's the closest thing to what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... But if it was right and commendable and noble of you to contribute to my needs and to share my difficulties with me. And you Philippians yourselves well known that in the early days of the gospel ministry, when I left Macedonia, no church or assembly entered in partnership with me and opened up a debit and credit account in giving and receiving except you only. Now, I've got a side note about partnership over here. You know, for quite a number of years, my partnership was non-existent because what God was doing is he was showing me how he was going to take care of me if I just obeyed what to do. And when I started working at Grace in 1982, I got $35 a month. How do you live on $35 a month? So, what God had to do is he had to show me how to go forward, and there were no at that time. But when I sold the building that we owned, that at that time, the interest rates were relatively high, and he had showed me how to go forward with that sale, which was not the way I wanted it. Because I had patterns in my head of how God was going to work. But those patterns had to be destroyed. So I had to learn to listen to him And I did it 24/7. From December 8th until June of the following year, I learned to intercede and to pray as never before. I wasn't allowed to unlock the front door. And we went by the building just the other day. Actually, it was last night when we were going over to bring the birthday gift and the little coat. Instead of going up Central Street, I went straight by our store. And as we're driving by, the main picture window that is original, because the other ones are all been replaced and they're all rotting. But the original picture window where the living room sets used to be displayed has window curtains that I hung there probably in 1980. And they're still there, except they rotted and they cut off the bottoms. And my wife and I watched this and she says, I could cry to think about. I said, do you realize how many times you dusted in that room? I mean, that was one of the things she did. She took care of all the dusting and the cleaning and the polishing. And I mean, there was a lot of room. That's all I can tell you. And as we drove by, I said, Irene, what do you think about what God has done? I mean, we've watched the building deteriorate. They repaired nothing from the days that we were there, except just barely touching up and putting rotten windows up is not a very good idea as far as, you know. So it's deteriorated. So then we drive over the bridge and she says, I wonder how the apartments are, because we had 7 apartments that we had upgraded. I said, well, if anything from what we've seen downstairs, the upstairs must be the same. So obviously, it's going to be 40 years in 6 more months that we've been gone. Okay? When we left, the building was in good order. What order it is in, I only know that that's God's problem, not mine. But believe it or not, it still comes into my dreams once in a while. And the Lord still uses it in the dreams to teach me. So he doesn't stop using where you were to give you an education about tomorrow. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. If you think for one moment that when I obeyed and did what I did, that I had any thought of what I would be doing 40 years from now. At that time, I would have told you, you better have a head examination because there is no way that this is going to happen for the next 40 years. So what I'm saying to you is this. The partnership that the Lord developed at Grace Church of Christ in close to 20 years. Because when I started with Gino, it was at the end of 1982. And that's going to be also 40 years. So God is working. He's not finished with any of us yet. And what we did 40 years ago has an impact on today. Because you can see what he's done. What he's done in us and what he's done through us. Agreed? 16. For even in Thessalonica, you sent me contributions for my needs, not only once, but for a second time. When, I've got a picture that just bounced in my head, and I didn't think I was going to go there, but I will. Because I believe he wants me to open that up a little bit. Partnerships. It was December, I would say December 15th, maybe. And we had just started the House of Prayer, and the finances were not there for me to be able to pay up whatever had accumulated. And I cried out with Irene to have the Holy Spirit impact whatever needed to be coming in. And we just didn't know how we were going to meet all the requirements of that particular season. So we prayed, like you, but it took more than a couple of hours. But I said, Irene, he's going to supply. Something is going to happen. I don't know how, but he's going to do something so that we can make ends meet and get the bills paid. I'm not interested in going on loans. I already told the Lord I'm not doing that. So we prayed. Well, day goes by and another day goes by and another day goes by. Several days, I don't remember the numbers, but I get a phone call. And it's a young man that I've known for a long time. Him and his wife, I knew. And so he says, Kim, are you going to be at home? I said, yeah. He said, we're coming over. He said, but we're not coming in. I said, well, okay, if that's what, you know, we'd love to have you come. No, no, we're going to make a delivery. I said, okay. So I went downstairs and I opened the door and I waited, and sure enough, they came in the driveway. His wife rolled down the window. She gave me an envelope. And she said, the Lord told us that this is needing to be yours. And so I took the envelope and I said, thank you very, very much. And came in the house. Well, obviously, I was nosy. I opened the envelope, and there's all kinds of bills. And I said, oh, my God. So I came upstairs, and I laid all that money out on the kitchen table. And Irene walks in, and she says, oh, my God, what'd you do, rob a bank? I said, no, the Lord just showed us that we have a partner. There was $700, which paid everything that we were committed to. And it came as needed. So you see, this isn't just for Paul. The same Holy Spirit is working today. Mm-hmm. He hasn't finished with any of us. Okay? 17. Oh, I'm going to back it up. Verse 15. And you Philippians yourselves, well known that in the early days of the gospel ministry, when I left Macedonia, no church or assembly entered into partnership with me and opened up a debit and credit account in giving and receiving, except you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent me contributions for my needs, not only once, but a second time. Not that I seek or am eager for your gift, but I do seek and am eager for the fruit which increased to your credit, the harvest of blessing that is accumulating to your account. You see, the one who gives to you is also being blessed by the Lord. It's a two-way street. But I have your full payment and more. I have everything I need and am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent me. They are the fragrant odor of an offering and sacrifice which God welcomes and in which he delights. And God will liberally supply, fill to the full, your every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever, through the endless eternities of eternities. Amen, and so be it. Remember me to every saint every born-again believer in Christ Jesus, the brethren, my associates, who are with me, greet you. All the saints, God's consecrated ones, wish to be remembered to you, especially those in Caesar's household. Now, as I was reading this afternoon, I was reminded when Paul was having that ship and everything is falling apart, did he declare, well, I know we're not going to die because I have an appointment with Rome? How did he pray? I'm going to impact Caesar's household. The grace, spiritual favor, and blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, be with your spirit. Amen. So be it. So now, say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
what you did with Paul,
you're doing with us.
It's a different way of doing things.
It's a different way of doing things
than you did 2,000 years ago. But it's the same Holy Spirit.
But it's the same Holy Spirit.
And he will continue.
And he will continue.
To bless us.
To renew us.
And to strengthen us.
In the anointing.
That he's prepared for all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. And that includes what he's doing in Susan. Amen. I had to pick on you, Susan.